Right now, it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur, of course, joins us every Monday morning, and we talk food, various aspects of food, but food, food, food. And we welcome him in this morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and happy snow day. it's going to rain here. I'm looking forward to it washing away the 2 weeks of snow. Anyway, have you been watching Stanley Tucci's, I think it's called, is it called Finding Italy?
I'm not sure. I think it's just Stanley Tucci's Italy. I don't think it's even Finding Italy. Yes, I have, because I like watching shows like that, and I was really indoctrinated to the watching shows like that with Anthony Bourdain when he did his show. I mean, a lot of people didn't like his show. I loved it because it involved 60% culture and 40% food, and talking about food and how it was prepared and stuff. It was a unique show. So,
well, I don't necessarily agree with you. I'm of two ways on both of these things. I found the last shows of Anthony Bourdain were unwatchable. And the beginning, Anthony Bourdain was great, and it was more about culture and politics than agriculture than it was about cooking. But you know, I'm a cook, so I like watching cooking when it's done well and when I can learn something too. So Stanley Tucci, I'm not a vast fan of Stanley Tucci, but I am a fan of Stanley Tucci, and so I like seeing him on TV, and I feel like, I don't know if he's acting or for real, but he's so wide-eyed about Italy, especially for a man who has been there, so he says, you know, all his life he's been going to Italy. So I'm sorry, why is he so wide-eyed? Why is certain things surprise him? He's a good actor. And it's scripted, you know, so that's sort of like, you know, Anthony Bourdain was totally Anthony's demented brain.
Yep. absolutely.
Which is why we loved him.
Yeah.
And I knew Anthony, and he was a very nice man, too. I don't know Stanley Tucci, never met the guy. Even he has written a cookbook or two with his mother, who he mentioned in the same. Anyway, first, I'm happy that the first show was done in Naples, because as I always say, I know Naples better than Queens, and certainly I know the cooking of Naples better than I know the Queens is the world, you understand, these days. I mean, 132 different ethnic groups. In any case, I know enough about Naples to know when Stanley was wrong, and he got some facts wrong, which made me suspicious of the whole program. But on the other hand, he got the gist, he got the essence, I should say, of Naples right. It is a place where humanity is human. It's a place where people care about each other. There were times I thought maybe they read my book and were using some of the lines from my Naples at Table. Because I think I start out the book by saying, you know, this is a city that lives on the edge of a volcano. And all the volcano brings, let's say tomatoes, among many other things, and the things that the volcano takes away, life. So, you know, at any moment you could be destroyed. And by the way, I've been going to Naples regularly, meaning, you know, several times a year or for long stretches over the last almost 30 years, and they've been saying for almost 30 years that Vesuvius is going to erupt at any minute, and you better beware. And they're always talking about how many millions of people live in the path of Vesuvius when it does erupt. So that's Naples, and he got pizza right. When I say there were some details that were incorrect, I wish his producers did better research. And I found the same to be true in Rome. There were certain little, you know, I mean, nobody's going to know, but people who live in Rome, for instance, will know, or know a little bit about Roman history. There was one point, for instance, Rome was last night. I don't know, what's next week? Do you know, Marshall?
No, I don't.
I think it's going to be someplace up north. I'm hoping for Bologna, Emilia Romagna. So, anyway, back to Rome. He gets little details wrong. And then also, as an exuberant tourist / promoter of Italy in this show, he makes more out of things than really should. Now, my main case here is in the Naples show on the Amalfi Coast, he goes to a restaurant in a town called, well, it's barely a town, Nerano, N-E-R-A-N-O. And by the way, he never mentions what this is. Nerano is basically a cove, more or less at the tip of the Sorrento Peninsula. On one side of Nerano is the Amalfi Coast, Positano, Ravello, the famous towns. And on the other side is Sorrento. So this is a little cove, best reached, he didn't tell you this either, by boat. To get there by car is, it's not dangerous, but, you don't want to do it. The famous Amalfi Coast Drive is not nearly as dangerous as people make it out to be, but it's a pain in the neck. So you want to get there, and you want to get there elegantly by boat. So he doesn't tell you that. And then he doesn't tell you, like, this is like one of the most famous recipes in all of southern Italy that nobody can make. And I mean nobody can make it except at this restaurant where it was invented in 1952. So it's not a traditional recipe in the sense like it's been around for hundreds of years or, it's a 1952 restaurant dish at a point when that part of the world was really just for glamorous people. And glamorous people like butter. So this dish, some local Italians will tell you, is hardly Italian. I mean, not hardly from the south of Italy, because you need to have butter to make it. It's not although I must say, on the Sorrento Peninsula, they do have butter because they do have cows. Truly, it's not the butter that makes the dish. What makes the dish is the quality of the... let me just say, it's spaghetti with zucchini. And you get a lot of places all over Italy that'll say spaghetti alla Nerano or di Nerano. And what it is spaghetti with zucchini. And it's hard to reproduce this dish. And as I said about spaghetti with clam sauce just a couple weeks ago, it's one of those dishes that you have to be sitting at the restaurant facing the cove, the beautiful white sandy beach in Nerano, for it to really be delicious. If you make it away from Nerano, it's not going to be so delicious. It's not going to be so delicious that Stanley Tucci is going to swoon about it on television, which is what he did. So, quickly, I'm not telling you to reproduce this recipe at all, because you'll never get it right. And by the way, I have a good friend, Luciano Pignotaro. Luciano is a wine and food writer for La Corriere della Sera, the biggest newspaper in Italy. He's very famous. I only know him because I used to play cards with his mother. His mother is from Salerno. He's from Salerno. And his mother, Aurora, was quite a dame, we would say in English. Anyway, Luciano has an essay about it, about this dish, on his website. But you have to read it in Italian. But as he says, it's besides what I'm saying, you have to be there for it to be so delicious. It's the quality of the zucchini, and it's also a particular cheese they make it with. It's a kind of provolone del Monaco, of the monk. And it's a round, semi-aged provolone, not very sharp, but sharp enough. And all the recipes you read in English, they call for either pecorino or parmigiano or combination. It's not the dish. It's something else. Anyway, so that's Stanley on this. And by the way, he was in, only once so far has his wife shown up. And she and he have swooned over this dish, which they've eaten many times, and they tried to make it, and it wasn't good. I thought it was cute. So Stanley in Rome gets Rome right, too. they are stubborn, and they are, I mean, Romans are a stubborn people, and they really do love and honor their traditional food. And he got all that right in the Rome episode. And he concentrated, as I would too, if I was doing Rome, on the four big pasta dishes of Rome, which is spaghetti alla carbonara, whatever pasta you want, but really bucatini, amatriciana, cacio e pepe, and spaghetti alla gricia. Now, it's a progression, and I was interested to hear. He interviews lots of Italians, Neapolitans as well as Romans, and they all are exuberant, would be a good word, about their cuisine. And the one wrong thing Stanley got about Rome is he said, oh, it's a pork-based cuisine. Well, yes, they do eat a lot of pork, but in fact, it's truly a lamb-based cuisine. The cheese of Rome is pecorino, sheep's milk cheese. Lamb and sheep are cooked in many ways. And also, he did get this right, it's also the fifth quarter, as they call it in Rome, which is all the innards, all the things that are not, you know, hanging on a hook as meat, liver, well, you name it. Intestines are big lamb intestines are a big deal in Rome. Tripe a la Romana is wonderful. So he got all that right. But I was interested to hear from one of the Romans that in a restaurant that carbonara is currently the most popular of the four Roman pastas, whereas I always thought it was amatriciana. And amatriciana is the tomato-based Roman sauce. Carbonara is egg, well, it's bacon, we could say in English, bacon and eggs with cheese. But in fact, the real carbonara should be made with guanciale, which is cured jowl, whereas pancetta is cured bacon. And certainly die-hard traditional Romans will insist that all these dishes be made with guanciale and not with pancetta. So carbonara is the most popular. Now amatriciana is in my house is the favorite. I make great carbonara, but it's so rich. I have to say I made carbonara for Thanksgiving, a la Calvin Trillin's essay in 1981, saying, oh, why are we eating turkey? It's diet food. Let's have carbonara. So I did that this year. And I can still make a very good carbonara. I'll tell you my trick in a minute. But anyway, not a trick, but a way to do it. But the carbonara in Stanley's show was made in several places, and I had a laugh that now, this woman is my friend. Katie Parla is a young, by me young, she's in her 30s, I guess, by now, American woman. She's from Princeton Junction, New Jersey. Her father owns an Italian restaurant in New Jersey. And Katie always wanted to live in Rome. So as soon as she graduated from college, she moved to Rome, and she's made a wonderful career for herself in Rome, and Point South, I should say, as a food guide, and she's written a couple of books now. She writes for various publications, and if you want the supreme food guide in Rome, you have to hire Katie. I think she's still doing individual guiding. In any case, Stanley goes with Katie to these cutting-edge places in Rome. Katie is great at that. She's American, after all. And she's young, I should say. Young people in Italy, too, are more adventurous, even Romans, than people my age and, well, even middle-aged, and in the case, young people, under 40, are way more adventurous, way more worldly than their elders. In any case, Katie takes him to this a chef-owned restaurant, a woman chef, and who's doing very cucina creativa, creative cooking. And what does she make? Carbonara. So they're obsessed. And then at one point somebody says, well, of course on bucatini. But in fact, amatriciana traditionally is made on bucatini. So this morning I wake up to my Facebook timeline, and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people on my timeline are talking about, they're arguing about how to make amatriciana. And I'm glad to say my friend, who American, who's been living in Tuscany near Siena for 30 years, 35 years, maybe even longer, married to a Tuscan, she makes amatriciana the way I do, with onion. I like a little onion in my amatriciana. But amatriciana, traditionally on bucatini, is nowadays, and even in Stanley Tucci's TV show, made on rigatoni, or some other tubular pasta. Could be ziti, just a tubular pasta, one that you can pick up with a fork, piece by piece, and not splash the sauce on your nice clothes. This is how this evolved. Another friend of mine, he's actually David Downey. He's actually an expat in France, not in Italy, but he's lived in Italy off and on through his life. And David wrote a book about Roman food, and he says, you know, the reason that everybody's making amatriciana on tubular pasta is because if you eat it on bucatini, it splashes all over the place, and even spaghetti, you know, is dangerous. And you do, if you go to lunch in the historic center of Rome, where people are still getting dressed for business and are trying to be elegant, and they're wearing, men are wearing ties and jackets, the men with the ties have the tie flipped over their shoulder if they want to eat spaghetti, because otherwise it gets all over their tie. Shirts can be laundered, ties not so much. Anyway, the other thing is, carbonara is white. No danger from carbonara staining you. Well, it's a little on the oil buttery side, you know, but cheese buttery. So, carbonara. Now, the arguments this morning about amatriciana were very funny, because they're the arguments I hear all the time, and nobody gives in. Either you make it with onion or without onion, using guanciale or pancetta. Now, gotta say, with guanciale not being available in my stores until my regular stores until fairly recently, I always had to go a little out of my way to get guanciale. Now I get it in the supermarket. At least in Brooklyn, we can get it in the supermarket, and I do cook more with guanciale than I used to. But I do my amatriciana with mainly with pancetta. I happen to have guanciale in the house today, but I'm not making that today. So amatriciana, I start with the pancetta or the guanciale. Now, if you're cooking with guanciale, I find you have to be more careful about tending the pan than you do with pancetta. The fat is a different quality. So I put in just the tiniest bit of olive oil, maybe a tablespoon or so. And for, let's say, a pound of pasta, let's 12 ounces to a pound of pasta, 4 ounces of diced pancetta. You can buy diced pancetta already diced. Citerio makes a pretty decent product. I see that in stores all the time, if you don't want to go to the trouble of dicing it. I dice it because Bob Harnett doesn't like it in strips. It's too chewy for him. So I often want it in strips, though. So, which of course is less cutting. So then you put that in your pan over medium heat, and as soon as it starts to sizzle a little bit, lower the heat and let the pancetta or guanciale cook until it renders out enough fat, at least, to cover the bottom of the pan, which will take a few minutes. And you're going to toss it around a couple times. Now add one small or even tiny onion. I always buy my onions, I usually get bags, and I try to find bags that have a variety of sizes. And you think, what am I going to do with this tiny onion? It's for amatriciana. So dice up your onion as fine as you can. Don't chop it willy-nilly. Dice it nice. And put that in the pan. And let the onion cook until it's tender, along with the pancetta or guanciale. And that's it. Now add a whole can of really good tomatoes, plum tomatoes. I buy DOP, San Marzano tomatoes. I'm willing to spring. I paid $5 for a can the other day. It's a little high. I could usually get them on sale for like $3.69, and I stock up. But whatever. A can of tomatoes is worth $5, okay? Good tomatoes. And I put them in right in the pan whole, and I mash them up. I mash them up right in the pan. I have wooden forks. They work very well. You can use a potato masher. If you don't want to do that, you can crush them by hand right into the pan, or you can put them in a bowl and then use your potato masher. Whatever. You want to crush a can of whole tomatoes that have then been crushed with all the liquid in the can. A little aside here, I only have another minute, but in my book, Naples at Table, this recipe is not there because it's not Neapolitan, it's Roman. I point out that you have to drain the tomatoes. That was 25 years ago. We no longer need to drain. If you buy good tomatoes, do not drain them. The puree in the can is delicious and should be used. And then I let that simmer. 15 minutes at the most is all it needs. I like to put a little peperoncino in mine, hot pepper. And I prefer pecorino as the cheese on my amatriciana. That would be traditional. But if you want to be sweeter, use a parmigiano. Or you can make a combination of the two. It's often done, by the way. Get a little sharpness, saltiness from the pecorino, and which is what I like, and then a little of the gentle, buttery sweetness from the parmigiano. Basta.
Basta.
It means enough.
Enough.
Well, yeah. So I did. Oh, by the way, Stanley went to one of my favorite restaurants too, so he knows something. Armando al Panteon. It's Armando's by the Pantheon. It's right down the street from the Pantheon. And must say, everybody goes there. as Yogi Berra once said, now I'm forgetting what Yogi Berra said about everybody goes there.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's over because everybody goes there. Something like that. Anyway.
So we basically agree on Tucci. I mean, I watched the show, but like I compared it to Bourdain, and I have to admit
it's
I didn't.
Not fair.
I know it's not fair, but it's human nature. I mean, you always compare things because I think he had the idea to bring the culture and flavor of Italy along with recipes. So that's what, and I still watch it. I'll watch it because. You talk about Italy a lot, and that's the first thing.
Well, I have to say, you know, Stanley and I agree on this totally. Rome is endlessly fascinating, and you can't be on a low-carb diet while you're there.
Well.
So I am looking forward to losing a few more pounds, not eating pasta, and haven't eaten except for Thanksgiving when I made carbonara. Oh, my secret—but the way I do carbonara. Stanley mentioned at this restaurant where he was eating carbonara that it was as yellow as saffron. Well, that's because the egg yolks in Italy, for the most part, are very dark. And that's what the poultry eats comes out in the egg yolks. I'm not, you know, so really good eggs in Italy have very, very dark yolks. But I like a very rich carbonara, so I add an extra egg yolk. No matter how, you know, for a half a pound of pasta, which is certainly enough for two people, I would use two whole eggs and an egg yolk.
Jill likes carbonara.
You don't?
No. It's too... Now, this is going to sound strange. It's too plain for me.
What? You know, you haven't had my carbonara. It's not plain at all.
Well, that's...
With crunchy little bits of pork products, guanciale or pancetta, good cheese, rich egg, and all that grease... All that wonderful pancetta fat.
It does sound like it's made for me. Maybe I just haven't had somebody make it.
You haven't had a good carbonara. Yeah. You probably had carbonara made with cream and prosciutto, which is an evolution that is, of course, no relation to carbonara at all. By the way, a big controversy online, on my timeline anyway, was, now, who did this? I know, that English chef who has a foul mouth. He made
Gordon Ramsay
carbonara with tomatoes. Please. It may be a delicious dish, but how dare you call that carbonara?
What's funny about it is I don't like him that much, the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't watch him at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you have to be kind to make good food, I feel. And even if, you know, really, I'm not joking. I think vibes come through in the food.
And yes, I know when you become a successful chef, I know it's like becoming a successful actor. It's like anything you come, it can go to your head. But he just is to me, does not represent what food's about. So I,
Stanley.
Yeah, no, not Stanley. The other guy.
Oh, that other guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Stanley looks like he loves to eat.
Yeah, no, that's what I like about it.
Stanley loves to eat. I wonder, however, how he stays so slim. Maybe he works out 3 hours a day.
He's an actor.
He has to take care of himself.
Yeah, he's got to take care of himself. Like that.
I was sad to hear his first wife died. He mentioned his late wife.
Yeah.
I have to see who that was.
See, like, I just sit behind a microphone.
And I don't know if he has children. I know nothing about Stanley Tucci. I know he has a mother he wrote a cookbook with. And didn't he actually direct The Big Night?
Yes.
And as well as being in it.
And he's got a current picture out, too, now. I forget which one is out. But
no, he gets a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. He was in, I don't want to do Stanley Tucci's filmography here, but... I've seen a lot of his movies, and probably not all of them by a long shot. So I don't know. We went over time here, but that's okay.
That's okay.
So I recommend, by the way, as a food tourist myself, I highly recommend that if you get to the Amalfi Coast or Sorrento, you take a boat, of which there are a zillion, to this restaurant in Nerano and eat the zucchini spaghetti on the premises. Or if you can read Italian, read my friend Luciano Pignataro's essay on it in Italian, and I think he got it right. Except for one little detail. I'm going to say this if you really want to try to make this. He says that what it is fried discs of zucchini, and they do show this on the Stanley Tucci show, a portion of which are pureed to make a base for this sauce. But they're not pureed in the blender or the food processor. You beat them in a pan. Now, Luciano says to blanch them, but he's wrong. What they do is they put them in the pan with a little of the pasta cooking water, and beat it so that the zucchini break up. I mean, some people say, oh, the zucchini breaks up anyway in the spaghetti, but it's not the same. So that's it. And Luciano only uses one little knob of butter, not a ton of butter as some recipes have it.
All right, Arthur.
Then again, you have to eat it in their honor. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven this morning here on Robin Hood Radio. And, of course, you can listen to Arthur on robinhoodradio.com on demand. The food maven. Arthur Schwartz.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.